Welcome everyone to another episode of The Definitive Crusade. I am your host, Johnny the Machine Hughes. Hola, everybody. This time around, the audio guy and his fixation of the number four is still going to be PO'd because there is no stop off in the small pond. It's just just me and the guys over the long way away. Freya, how's it going?
Going great. It's going great.
Excellent. And joining Freya and I is Josh. Josh, well, welcome back again.
How good to be back. I mean, second show in a row that I've actually been here.
Well, I heard a little rumor that says that you've done 80 shows on the UCPN.
Yeah. Yeah, as of the time of this recording, actually, this would be 81. So Flipside was number 80, which I found to be kind of cool that that's the show I started it on. So that one got the milestone.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it? Of course, both Ray and I laugh at 80, you know, because, like, you know, we've been doing this for a couple of years now. So,
well, actually, so it has been.
Yeah, let's not go down there. We're not doing
it. I know. It's been, what, 3 years since I joined Undercover Capes? So,
to be fair, go on then, Freya.
Nothing.
All right, so between us, we have got some podcast mileage. Okay. Before we get going on our books for this week, I think someone deserves a bit of a shout out. We have been getting lots of prompts from a certain Twitter user who's been sending us pages of script for a comic book, which is all great. So a big shout out to, I'm going to say this wrong so someone can correct me, I'm going to say it's Jawa Salvo. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Jawa Suavo.
Oh, there you go. Cool. So check them out on Twitter. Got some cool stuff up there. So thanks for getting in touch with the show and interacting. That's really great. Good to see people are listening and enjoying it. I know Tracy would kill me if I didn't say thanks for all the stuff. So there you go. Cool.
I love independent artwork and, you know, comics. I greatly enjoy it. So
I like the way, even though they're kind of like, sorry,
dang it, Johnny.
Dojo guy is gonna hate us for this. All right, sorry. Go away for it. Carry on.
I was gonna say, if anyone else is like working on stuff, yes, send it. We'd love to see it. Or at least I would. I don't care about anyone else. I would love to see it.
What she said. You know, get in touch with the show, get you some shout outs. We'll share your stuff across the old Twitterverse. So yeah, go for it. But remember, it's DC. No Marvel stuff in there. All right. Just to
minor detail.
Yeah, well. Yeah. All right, okay, so on to this week's books. So we have got a bevy of books. I think we'll go superhero fun. I think that's kind of how the best way to go. So
I like it.
Alphabetically, we'll go Action Comics number 1011. Or 1011, depending on how you want to pronounce it. Written by Brian Michael Bendis, art by Steve Epting, colors by Brad Anderson, and letters by Josh Reed. I like this book because I can name all the creators and I don't have to worry about getting it all wrong. Yay. Cool.
It's the little things.
Yeah, the little things that matter. Freya, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah.
Because I know you love Superman.
Okay. Give me just a second. I need to open a drink.
Oh, God. That just happened.
Okay. Now that's a thing for me. So this book. yeah, Superman. I don't... He is just... Who leaves Amanda Waller alone with freaking Jimmy in the Fortress of Solitude. Even Batman wouldn't freaking leave Amanda Waller alone in his Batcave. Like, who does this? How are they just stupid, Superman? Just stupid.
Maybe that's his weekend name, Stupid Man. I don't know.
I mean, it's freaking Jimmy Olsen. He's what, like a teenager at best in this? Like, it's like asking a small child to babysit, you know, like someone that it's a 6-year-old to babysit. You don't, it's just stupid Superman. I mean, it was great to see Huntress, you know, and all that. And just, but okay. Artwork was great. I liked it. A little confused why Lois was a blonde until I realized it was a wig. Because I don't really keep up with Action Comics because, you know, I don't really appreciate the Boy Scout that is Superman all that much. But the storyline and plot actually seem pretty interesting. So I'll give it that. Artwork was great. I like the colorization. I think they were a little bit too heavy, I think, on the inking and just the shadows on Huntress. It just seemed a little too dark, I guess, on her.
Well, she is in Gotham.
Whatever.
A question for you then. A question for everyone. Okay, so Steve Epting's the artist on this book. He doesn't have an inker. Do you think that there should be an inker, or does it work when they ink their own stuff because it's more of the true, pure image that they're aiming for? Or do you think that inkers should come in to try and delineate some of the storytelling?
Honestly, I feel like it's completely up to the artist. I mean, it is their art. If they want an inker, because you can mark where you mark where you want the inking done and blah, 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 but it's completely up to the artist. If they want an inker, if they want to do it themselves, you know, more power to them. I really don't care because, you know, he doesn't have an inker, and I still think that inking was a little too heavy on, you know, Huntress. And so it doesn't really matter. It's all about, you know, art style. That's how you want the artist wanted it, you know, and that's how they did it. I may not like it, but, you know, that's how they wanted it. That's how they wanted it. It's artist subjective, you know. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. Whichever is my answer.
Josh, what do you think about the ink? To ink or not to ink?
That's the question. I liked it. I mean, I like the fact that there's a very obvious difference when they're in different locations. The Fortress of Solitude, it's a very, I mean, it's full of ice, and the light is reflecting all over inside. So that's, I think they did a good job with that. I liked how Dark Huntress looked. I mean, it is Gotham. She is part of the Bat family in retrospect. So you're always going to have that darker aspect, especially in the face. You know, that's just part of being in Gotham. So.
Okay. Cool. What did you both think of the story, the whole Leviathan thing, leading into the some of the big stuff that's happening later this year?
I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see where it goes. I agree with Freya that, you know, Superman, he may be the Man of Steel, but he's not the Man of Brains. I think there's a reason why Brainiac is one of his villains, because even Brainiac could be like, seriously, you left Amanda Waller in your Fortress of Solitude? That was dumb.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's true. I think everybody picked up on that. I've written it down that I'm to talk about, but it's cool. Okay. We know Frey doesn't pick up Superman books or Action Comics that much. Josh, you an Action Comics fan?
No.
Honestly, cool. All right. Okay, so well, a couple of things going on with this book. It took me ages to work out that's Lois with blonde hair. It didn't help that when she took off the wig, of which I have no reason, I don't understand why she's wearing it in Gotham, but you know, when she did take off the wig, her face seems to change as well. I didn't know that's how that worked. Maybe it's just me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. Steve Epting. I want to like his work. I really do. But it wasn't that long ago we were saying how bad Batwoman was. And he was one of the artists in that. So I'm kind of thinking it needs a little bit more, I don't know, something more dynamic. That picture of Manhunter jumping out of her apartment, for example, just doesn't look filled with motion at all. It just seems like it's boom on there. It looks quite flat. I, like you, don't read Action Comics with any great detail. I always like Superman when he reacts to other characters, which I've said before. The interesting thing about the Huntress, I was going to mention Waller, but you kind of took that away from me. I don't get why this Huntress is part of the Bat family. Because it's Helena Bertinelli, it's not Helena Wayne. I don't understand it. I don't understand why she was in Batman 71. I don't understand why she is part of that clique.
When you sleep with Robin or Nightwing, I think you kind of become an honorary member.
All right, okay.
It's a badge of honor.
Is it? All right, so is that kind of the passing grade? Is it you've got to sleep with Nightwing? You've got to sleep with Dick Grayson to become part of the Bat family. So does that mean Steph Brown slept with Dick Grayson then?
Well, I didn't say it was the only way to become part of that.
Okay, so but you get my point. I think people kind of gravitate towards putting Huntress in there because of the Birds of Prey stuff. But, you know, the connection to Batman is as tenuous as Black Canary is to Batman. So why isn't Black Canary in the Bat family?
Maybe she slept with Batman. We just don't know yet.
Well,
she has slept with Batman.
All-star Batman she was getting on, wasn't she?
She didn't sleep with Dick Grayson, though. There's a difference.
Oh. So there's different grade levels of the Bat family, depending on who you slept with.
If it was Bruce, then pretty much frickin' everyone would be part of the Bat family. Including villains.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Talia would be the new Batwoman.
Yep.
Oh, bless. Okay. I'm kind of a bit nonplussed with it, to be fair. Quick question then. Do you think Brian Michael Bendis has been the superstar acquisition that DC wanted him to be when he came over last year?
We're too early in this Leviathan story arc for me to make any sort of judgment on that one as of yet. Although I would say moving forward, don't let Superman be a moron again.
Oh, bless. Bless the Man of Steel.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That's that done. Whew. All right. So Action Comics, we survived. Excellent. Okay. As I promised, we're going superhero fun. So next up, we'll go with Looney Tunes number 249. Yes, that's right. It is not a misspelling on that one. There is that many issues of this book. So there's a couple of stories in here. We'll go through the creators as we go through the stories so everyone gets a name check. Josh, this was your call, was it not?
It was my call.
Fire, I know. Where is that, my friend?
Very, very random of me to pick this one. Go figure. This is like reading a Looney Tunes cartoon. Couple shorts and that's it. The biggest thing that caught my attention on this is the fact that they had the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote on the cover. That's what had piqued my interest. And reading this, it was like watching a cartoon. Roadrunner is, of course, you know, three steps ahead of Wile E. Coyote, and he gets the shit end of the stick. What better way to take a break from all this nonsense that, you know, Superman making poor decisions, and let's watch Wile E. Coyote get his ass kicked.
Yes.
So okay. It was just downright fun. And that's really what it was. It was a fun read, just entertaining, mindless entertainment.
Okay. So Mixed Signals is the Wile E. Coyote Roadrunner story, written by Derek Fredolfs, art by Robert Pope with inks by Scott McCrae, colors by Rock Candy, letters by Gabriella Down. There you go. Cool. Who would win in a race, Freya, Roadrunner or The Flash?
I'm going to give it to The Flash just because Roadrunner can't, you know, go through time.
Fair enough. Good call. Good logic. Good logic. Other stories in there. Josh, did you think, what do you think the other ones? Did you?
Cars and Bars is interesting. It reminded me of the, oh God, what was the name of the movie? The Will Ferrell movie where he was a cop. Oh hell. Which movie was
that? The Other Guys.
Yes. That's exactly what this story was, you know, to me. It was like the Looney Tunes version of The Other Guys.
All right. Okay. Cool.
I mean, with Looney Tunes, you really can't go wrong. It's going to be the slapstick humor. This is definitely meant for kids. And yep. They achieved that.
Okay. So Cars and Bars, which is Duck Tracy featuring Daffy and Porky, written by Frank Storm, art by Omar Aranda, ink by Alberto Serchan, letters by Pat Brazzo, colors by David Tangai. And then finally up, you've got Flame in the Museum, which is the Bugs and Elmer Fudd story. I thought this was the weakest of the three.
I would agree. Although I did like the attempt at making fun of Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble.
Yeah, I got that book.
But, I mean, yeah, aside from that, I would definitely agree that this was the weakest of the three. So it would definitely, this book was laid out. Roadrunner was the strongest with, you know, the Daffy Duck story, and then Bugs to be the caboose of the book.
So that last story was written by Scott Cunningham, art by David Alvarez, inks by Mike DiCarlo, and letters by the fantastic, legendary Tom Alchowski. Alchowski, even if I say it right. Freya, did this book tickle your funny bones?
Yeah, actually it did. I've always really liked Looney Tunes as a kid. So like Josh said, it just felt like reading a cartoon, you know. It was just fun. It had no real like plot point really. It was just kind of mindless fun. I liked all of the stories, but you know, the last one with Bugs Bunny, it did kind of feel like it lacked. I don't know what exactly it was lacking, but it just felt like it. I mean, I liked all of the throwbacks and references and everything they had in them that they usually do in Looney Tunes. So yeah, I mean, the artwork was Looney Tunes. So it was a nice throwback to my childhood to actually read this.
Cool. So. Did you think that the Bugs Bunny story suffered because we've had, by the time we get to it, we've kind of had our fill? Because Looney Tunes cartoons aren't meant for the longevity. They're like 3-5 minutes long. Come in, slapstick, fall down, say something funny, move on, next line. It's quite rambunctious in the way that it sort of like hits you with that humour. 23 pages of it kind of gets a little bit, you know, like, oh, really? I don't know. Yeah. What do you think?
I think it's more because I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like Bugs Bunny himself, his type of humor, it needs to be animated, I feel like, because he's more of a like crazy run around psycho type thing. And his usually involves like, I don't know, music of some sort. And I don't know. I think Bugs Bunny himself with his type of the style of character he is, I think he more needs to be animated, and that's why I feel like it was lacking. Yeah. More than everyone else, because everyone else sometimes has like these, you know, LA Noir type feel vibe, kind of like Daffy and Porky and the Roadrunner and whatnot. They don't talk, so, you know, that's fine in comics and everything. But Bugs Bunny is just that different entity that he needs to be animated. That's my thought on it. And that's probably why I think it was lacking. So
I kind of agree. I agree wholeheartedly. The Roadrunner is very much slapstick, situational stuff, which is very observed, very easy on the eye. You get the joke straight away. You don't have to think about it. Porky and Daffy especially, it's very much vocal humor. The jokes are in the script and the dialogue, which works again because it's a comic book. Bugs, you're absolutely right. I think Bugs does that kind of crazy spin on characters. He does caricatures. He does mimes, he does impersonations. It's really hard to get that level of zany in a comic book. I think you've actually properly hit the nail on the head there, Freya. Well done, good shout, definitely. I liked the Roadrunner 1, can't say that fast, mainly because I'm a driver, I drive cars, so I kind of think to myself, seeing those road signs, it just makes me feel like exactly how I'm supposed to try to get to work in the morning. You know, like, it says stop. No, not him. You wait a bit longer. You know, I'd be like, oh man. If one said change radio station, I'd be like, yep, that's me. That's what I do. So I thought that was funny. Although I found it particularly odd that at one stage the Roadrunner was actually in the car with him. He did absolutely nothing about it. I thought that was a bit of a, ooh, really?
But that's perfect for Wile E. Coyote, because that's exactly what Roadrunner would do in that situation. He'd end up in the car until it clicks in his head of, oh shit, there he is. And then he takes off running. That is pure Roadrunner. Exactly. A shtick, a move, however you want to look at it.
Cool. I like the Daffy and Porky stuff. I one of my favorite Looney Tunes is Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century. So every time they take the Mickey out of something like Buck Rogers or Dick Tracy in this case, it always does kind of put a grin on my face. I agree with both you and Freya that I think the Bugs Bunny one definitely needed something else. Didn't quite work, but it is an interesting read. It's good to see that DC is sticking with this. When you think of all the books that are getting cancelled from the New Age of Heroes, that they are sticking with this whole kind of link up to do that sort, these sort of books for a wider audience. So that's cool. Go on, you were going to say something?
No? I was about to, and then I'm like, eh, no, never mind. Lost my train of thought.
All right. Okay. So, back to superheroes. The Flash, number 71. We are at part two of Flash Year One, written by Joshua Williams, art by Howard Porter, colours by Hi-Fi, and the letterer, because people say that letterers don't get enough kudos, the letterer is not listed in the credits. So on the show, I think we do a great job of making sure that everyone gets the kind of nod that they deserve. Even if we don't talk specifically about that particular piece of art or whatever, what we will say is that if you're listed, you get a name check. That's how it works. No letterer. Shame on you, DC. So, Flash 71. This is my call. So, as you all know, I read The Flash about as often as Tracy reads a Green Lantern book. So, this is kind of like a, what's going on? Second part of Year One, second issue in, and already we've had time travel. Brilliant. Is this the only thing the Flash can do? Run fast, travels through time. You know, Freya kind of alluded to it earlier on. But you still get the cosmic treadmill, which is always cool. We have a future Barry and we have a turtle character, but shouldn't he be in like the Batman turtle thing going on? I don't know. The story in itself's fun enough. I don't care that much about Barry Allen to totally get wound up into this. I will say, I think my liking of The Flash has been numbed down thanks to the show, the TV show on CW, or Sky One for us Brits and Europeans. I'm not feeling the love for the TV show right now. I think that's kind of transferring some of that. Not bored, but not frustrated. That kind of, what do you call it? That kind of like meh feeling I've got about the character. So it's kind of,
well, it's kind of lost its yeah. Excitement because of how long it's been on now.
Yeah. And I don't get how he's the fastest man alive and the bad guys distract him and then they disappear. It's like, you're the Flash, you can run after them and catch them. But no, obviously that's not. I will say that Williamson and Porter, I think they've been on this book for ages, haven't they? Have they been on it for like since the inception or just after? Because I think they're giving Capullo and Snyder a run for the money for longevity, so that's pretty good. Porter's art, I think, really works in this issue. I've not been a big fan of some of his more recent stuff. I remember him back when he used to do JLA way back when. But I really like the detailed backgrounds on this one. It kind of really stood out. Figure work carries a lot of movement, which is handy for a book based on a speedster. I didn't see anything that would cause Frey to go nuts. Maybe Frey can help me out with that in a little bit.
Give her another drink and she'll find something.
Yeah, cool. Make it a double. Freya, what do you think of the Flash 71?
So
need another drink.
Yeah, I kind of do. Hang on. Okay. All right. So plot. Okay, I'll start with the artwork. First of all, artwork. I didn't. Besides Flash having some weird facial expressions throughout the book, nothing really stood out. I did like how they gave older Flash some age spots and whatnot on him. And older Flash is, you know, what is it, Silver Fox? He's an attractive looking, you know, comic book character. So I don't know how this Flash turns into that Flash, because this Flash had, I don't know, he seems overly awkward, which I think because this is year one, I'm giving it a pass because he's not really the Flash yet. Per se, he's super whiny though, which also really irritated me and kind of made this difficult for me to read. However, there was a panel, I don't know what page it was, where his face changed, like shape wise, because he kind of had a long face and kind of looked, like I said, awkward, but then all of a sudden he looks like Brad Pitt, like young Brad Pitt, and I don't know why. in that just that one panel though. So other than that, I like the artwork. I like the colors. It's not supposed to be dark because it's Flash. You know, I still love like the how they do the Speed Force and everything. So done with the positives. Just, well, I do like the storyline, kind of. I am sick of freaking time travel though, which is why I don't really read Flash books, because it's like the only thing that we really do anymore with Flash. It feels like, oh, we're going to go back in time, or we're going to go forward in time. You know, we're going to be fighting them, get sucked into some weird time. You know, it's, I'm just sick of the whole time thing. Also, the turtle is, I for some reason, my mind went into like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles the entire time. So it's just, it's not bad. It's not meh. I mean, it's on the good side, but it's just, I'm sick of time travel. I'm really sick of time travel.
Do you think, question for everyone, do you think that time travel and the Flash are so synonymous? Because when they rebooted him from the Jay Garrick Flash way back when in Showcase, was it Showcase number 5 or whatever it was, when they introduced Barry Allen, Carmen Infantino decided to take it and go kind of in like a, also, was it John Fox, I think, was the writer at the time. to take it to a sci-fi level? Has the Flash become too sci-fi?
I think so. At least for me, the Flash and time travel is like Batman and Joker. It's going to be in every book.
Yeah. I wouldn't say he was too sci-fi. Because let's be real, all superheroes are kind of sci-fi. But it's just more of a, if they're going to go sci-fi, they need to switch the angle around. You know, mm-hmm. they're stuck on time travel. And if he is going into sci-fi, that opens a lot of different doors that they're not going to. They're just sticking mm-hmm. to the one, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're going to go sci-fi, you know, do something. There's a lot of different speed, you know, there's a speed force and there's strength force, blah, blah, blah. You know, you can delve into one of those, you know, a little bit more. Just they need to step away. They need to step away from time travel.
I think that's a really good point you make, Frey, because with compare it to the Green Lantern core, for example, there's not just green. There's all the other different colors that represent different emotions. There's nothing to say. You're absolutely right. There's different versions or elements of the Speed Force that we very rarely see, unless you're reading the Justice League book by Snyder, where it pops up every now and again. But you kind of, you know, speed is quite a, if we're talking science, it's quite a constant in a lot of scientific theory. So you'd think the Speed Force would have the same relative relationship with those other aspects of science, not just stick to time all the time. Bad choice of words. but you get my point, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's a great point you make for you.
They can even, you know, because, you know, they can even throw in some detective-y stuff with Barry, you know, because of his job. And we don't really get to see that. And that'd be very interesting to see him kind of in a, I guess what most people would say is a Batman thing. But Barry can go to crime scenes and walk around. No one would really think anything of it, you know? Mm. Why don't we get more of that? Why don't we have him going to, like, murder scenes and stuff?
That's one of the things I used to like about the early season Flash TV show. Barry Allen would turn up and then you'd see his thought process would be that quick to work out what was going on. And as for Barry Allen being a detective like Batman is, I can't remember the last time I saw Batman detect anything.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, same Tom King sort of plodding along thing.
Sometimes you just need to take a step back and go back to your, like, your roots of your characters. Yeah. And I think they really should, especially with this, like, as a kind of a reboot-y type of thing right now. Uh-huh. They really should focus on, like, Barry Allen, you know, with the cops and, you know, the crime lab and stuff. Yeah. And then he could do superheroing. But then same with Batman. I want my detective back.
Agreed. It's a time for them to embed Barry Allen year one, not just the Flash year one. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Good shout. But Josh, your call. What do you think of the Flash?
I mean, it was cool to see Barry Allen with the beard. That was, like Freya said, I like the style of the Speed Force with this, but I'm tired of the time travel. It's one of those, Barry Allen's going to travel time. He's got more to him than that. So start using, you know, as Freya said, start using his job as part of being who he is. The turtle, when I saw him, I had the same thought, like, am I reading a Ninja Turtles book or am I reading a Flash book? Because the turtle looked like the Michael Bay version of Slash. And that was my first thought was, oh, look, Slash in a Michael Bay film. Okay, that's cool.
I was thinking it was more like the Shredder who let himself go.
The Shredder. The hillbilly Shredder.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm going to stick you good.
Come here, you toidles. It wasn't bad. I mean, I've read other Flash books where they're worse. So for this, I've had worse. but
that's what she said.
But I agree, there's two constants that will always be in a flashbook. Barry Allen time travels, and Barry Allen is a whiny bitch.
Yeah.
No wonder he and Hal Jordan get along so well.
And it's funny because he's got like a ready-made partner right there and there. Barry Allen and Iris are like Peter Parker and MJ, like Clark and Lois. You know, they've been together, in fact, better than Clark and Lois because they've been together for years, like decades years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It seems like DC are constantly trying to force them apart. And I don't know if it's some sort of editorial thing. I don't know if it's trying to turn around and say heroes have to be single to ramp up the angst. I don't know what the crack is, but I'd rather, I agree with Freya, I'd rather see more Barry Allen than see more Flash.
Yeah.
I want to see Iris pregnant with the twins. I want the twins to show up eventually, you know? Progress their lives.
Yeah, that's a shout.
That'll be in the issue, the Flash Damned. And you know how well Batman Damned went. So,
well, we're still waiting for the third book. I was in my local comic book shop yesterday, and there was some guy who picked up his order, and he had two copies of Batman Damned number two in there. I'm like, bloody hell, how long have you been to pick up this your order? if that's the book you're picking up. I was like, what? I was like, is number three not out yet? I'm like, no, number three's not out yet. Sorry.
I'm
like, oh,
okay. I'm still waiting for number three.
Yeah, me too.
Well, maybe they're on the Doomsday Clock schedule.
I wish they'd do that with Heroes number nine, but never mind. Okay. Just saying. We'll have a quick chat about that in a minute. But we'll move on to our next book. 2 seconds. Okay, so the last book is Freya's Choice. I don't know what I've done to upset Freya that she had to pick this, but you know, I'm really, really sorry, Freya. If you, I'll send you some flowers maybe, because I don't have to read this again. That'd be great.
Awesome chocolate.
Awesome chocolate cake.
Awesome chocolate cake.
All right.
Or get some French pastries and send them over to me.
All right. Okay. Cool. Leave that with me. I will. That will be a work in progress. Right, Dial H for Hero, number three. Written by Sam Humphries. Art by Joe Quinones and Arist Dane. Colours by Jordan Gibson and Arist Dane. And letters by Dave Sharp. Freya, this is your book. Take it away.
Okay, so this book... I don't know what type of mood I was in when I picked it originally.
Drunk?
Maybe I'm just making up for Tracy not being here. That's what it is. I'm channeling Tracy.
Tracy, so, come back. Come back, Tracy.
Okay. Artwork. Not too bad. It actually kind of reminded me of like, I don't know, like old school type of comic-y things that I would find in like the grocery store. And so I did enjoy the artwork for the most part. You know, except for a little pageant part where everyone's face is kind of blurred together. But other than that, I really enjoyed it. Got some Sailor Moon vibes from the glowing numbers on the forehead. It just reminds me of Sailor Moon because they have little symbols on their foreheads that glow. But soccer. I forgot about the soccer thing where everyone's legs are all sticky and weird. Sorry. Okay, so the artwork's meh. I'm gonna go with the artwork's meh because there's quite a few little things, and that's also because of the psychedelic whatever she is, babysitter, monarch. But out of all of the superheroes that these people choose to, you know, be, they choose the weirdest, ugliest looking things. I don't even know what she looks like. A knockoff version of Harley Quinn, the Lolo kick you girl with the, I don't even know if that's right. Yeah, Lolo kick you. Like, she legit looks like a knockoff Harley Quinn, and it really bothered me through the last half of this book And I don't even know what the plot point is, because originally I thought that we were following the kid at the beginning. And then we went to the redhead and they had this stupid plan to summon Barry Allen. Can't summon Barry Allen, guys. You know, it's just not going to happen. And it's just, is there more than one phone? Is there not more than one phone? I don't freaking understand what's going on, because the kid in the beginning turns out to be the old guy. So there's got to be more than one phone. And it's just, why is the Flash Museum destroyed? Was there like a, this whole thing doesn't make sense. Like, it starts off then, okay, well, what was in Central City now? So was that like that weekend or what? Because Gorilla Grodd was attacking the, you know, Barry Allen Flash Museum, and now all of a sudden the Flash Museum's destroyed, kind of. They're working on it, but it says later, or it says that now. I'm like, so what? When is now? Was that like earlier in the day, later in the day? What's going on? I don't know when this is happening. You know? I don't know how long that kid's been the old guy. Why he's evil, good. The only thing that I'm kind of looking forward to is he says about summoning the original Justice League at the very very end. I believe he says. So I'm like, oh, Justice League of America. So I was like, okay, cool. You know, maybe we'll have some actual heroes and not discounted, you know, thrift store heroes. Because I don't know why I picked this book. I don't know why I picked it. I got myself angry. I don't know why I picked this. I don't know why I did this to myself. It hurts me. I'm not happy with myself. So, yeah, it's overall, it's meh. It's for kids. I understand that. I have no idea what happened through the book, and I read it twice because I still don't know what the frick happened. So, I don't get it. And they had the stupid Sybil swearing, which always irritates me. Just don't have her swear or have her swear. There's no in between. I don't remember what they're called, but I don't care. It's just, whole thing makes me upset.
Josh, what did you think of that?
What were you on, Freya, when you chose this book?
I've been making a lot of
Is this payback to me for making you read American Carnage?
Maybe. That's what it was.
God hell. So I look at the cover, right? And I'm like, okay, this looks kind of cool. It looks like a weird, like, Space Ghost meets, you know, Law and Order kind of thing. So I'm like, all right, you know, there's hope. Get into the first couple pages. Nope. I was a little weirded out about the whole glowing bat phone. I don't know if you guys noticed, like, the obsession with the red phone that looked just like the bat phone from 66.
It is that phone.
But if this is meant for kids, they're going to look at that and go, how in the hell does that work? Kids these days, if you were to have them try and dial a phone number on that, I mean, there's a whole social trend of watching teenagers dial on a rotary phone and watching them struggle. Why? I mean, yeah, I don't understand. I don't.
It'll be a quick review. All right. Okay.
This made me appreciate Looney Tunes that much more.
To put Josh out of his misery, I picked up this book. I will admit freely that I was not looking forward to it because I wasn't overly fond of the first issue. And then I do not think that this book is aimed at kids anymore, because I, like Freya, I have looked at this book more than once to try and work out what's going on. And I think I'm a reasonably intelligent guy. I can follow lots of plot points. But this book was just bonkers. I have no idea. And it's got to the point now, I've looked at it so much and I've been startled by the different art styles within the book But you know what? It hurts my eyes to look at it anymore. So I'm done. That's it. I can't give you anything. I cannot give you anything other than what you guys have said. Yeah, the redhead chick at the end is the knockoff of Harley Quinn. The Blue Bird of Happiness comes in with a mature readers cover. And I was like, what? What's going on there? I was like, you know what? Some of these ideas will be really, really good, but probably not crammed in the same 23 pages or 21 pages that you get in a comic book. Maybe you could spread them out a little bit. Yeah. Thanks, Freya. Another book to go on the do not review ever again pile. Thank you. There we go. Cool. So, yeah, it made me appreciate Looney Tunes more. It didn't affect Superman at all, though, so that was fine. So, what else have you guys been reading? Are you all up to date with stuff?
I've been, in all honesty, I've been reading a lot more indie lately. I've been super excited about Morgan's Organs, so.
Yeah, cool.
But how about there's my shameless Flipside Focus plug. Yep.
Well, as a curated first show, we'll let you do that. Freya, how about yourself? You up to date with everything?
I actually am not, because I was out and about. I went on a vacation, so I didn't really have anything. Cool. Yeah, I got to go to Gotham.
There's a town in Turkey called Gotham.
Oh no! I'm talking about the city that Gotham's based off of.
New York,
and Chicago. So I got to go around, and so I haven't been really up to date with my reading. So I'm gonna be.
All right. Okay. Let's save that question for another time. Maybe the audio guy let it out and make me not look like an idiot. That'd be good. What about the big bat film news? What's your thoughts, Robert? There are no vampires in Twilight. Pattinson is taking the lead cowl. So I am led to believe. Your thoughts, please, lady and gentlemen. We'll go with Freya first.
Take another drink.
That's funny enough. That's what I've just done.
All right. So here's the thing about Robert Pattinson, or Pattinson. Robert. I'm going to call him Rob. So I don't even. Okay. So the thing about him is he's actually not a bad actor, and I know people are going to like rip on me for this. Okay. Because I had some relatives, cousins mostly, who were really obsessed with Twilight, and I had a friend who was obsessed with Twilight, and they forced me to watch the movies. That guy, and like the interviews, he sucked in those movies because he had such disdain for those movies that he wasn't even giving a fuck. Like, he didn't care. That's why his acting was like, what is this? Because he didn't care. He hated doing those movies. He's like, it's a paycheck, whatever. But he's actually a pretty good actor, so I'm not that concerned. I'm more concerned about like how they're gonna write Batman for him. Other than that, like I mean, people were surprised with Batflick, so you know, I'm gonna be positive and say that he's not gonna destroy it. Just because Batman has kind of been drugged through the mud a lot, so
okay, that's a good show. That's a good show.
It can't be worse than some of the other ones.
I agree with you, Frey. I've seen R. Pat in a couple of other movies. I thought he did really well in. My wife, when we first started going out, she made me go and watch all the Twilight movies. And yeah, still married us, so you know what's that say. Yeah, I think he's a decent little actor, definitely. Josh?
So, I'm excited to see what he does. I hope that we get to see the detective side of Batman, because we've never truly had that in the movies. I mean, There was a little bit, just a little bit in the Nolan trilogy, but not enough to really make him the world's greatest detective. I was actually having a conversation about this with someone at work, and they were like, well, Batman needs to be ripped. And I'm like, yeah, well, obviously you didn't read Batman Year One. Bruce was not ripped and huge and bulky like he is now in that. He was definitely more the detective as he was learning anyway. So if that's the approach that they take, great. I'm all for it. DC lately has done fairly well with its solo live action movies. I mean, you look at Aquaman, you look at Shazam, and Wonder Woman, the standalone movies, they do great in. I am very much opposed to whether it's a rumor or not about Kristen Stewart wanting to be cast as Catwoman. Leave her out of it. She does not need to be involved whatsoever, unless you're going to create a villain called No Emotion. even then, she should not. Let's give, you know, Robert a chance to show what he can do without having No Emotion at his side.
I think you both make great points. I kind of, when I heard the news, I don't feel one way or the other about it. I know lots of people who complained when it was Keaton was going to be Batman, and lots of people complained when it was Christian Bale and Heath Ledger was going to be the Joker. People complained, you know, when it was Ben Affleck. Nobody complained when it was Val Kilmer or George Clooney, just saying.
That's because we already knew it was going to suck.
Yeah. I like the George Clooney one. That's all I'm saying.
See, I like the Val Kilmer over George Clooney.
No. In fact, I've said this before. I go George Clooney one over The Dark Knight Rises.
There you go.
Because I think The Dark Knight Rises is just fan service with too many plot holes.
But that's
another story.
Well, and Batman and Robin actually had somewhat accurate Bane as far as using Venom, where The Dark Knight Rises did not.
Yeah. We could do a whole show of why I do not like The Dark Knight Rises. We really could.
We'll save that for the dynamic convergence.
Yeah.
But maybe on that side.
Sorry?
I'll join you on your side, but brilliant, not like...
Brilliant, right, right? Come on. Freya and Machine take on the world, come on. So I'm going to keep an open mind. I kept an open mind when it was Ben Affleck, so I'm just going to keep an open mind all the way. I think DC have kind of realized that they don't have to follow the Marvel Universe trick where every movie has to be the same. And I think I've been saying on No Prize so often, that every movie has to have its comedy moment. Every movie, it has to have the same beats all the way. With DC movies, they can the different vibes. I mean, look at the promos for the new Joker movie. That doesn't look like anything like the Snyderverse.
And I am so excited for that.
Yeah, and Suicide Squad, as much as
Go for it. Okay, all I was going to say is that for a Batman movie, I would love for it to be like a horror thriller type of a thing with him. And use one of more of, not the Joker, but like do the Riddler properly or the Mad Hatter or someone. Like make it a psychological horror thriller movie, not just a campy, you know, comic book movie. Like make it a legit horror movie with him being more like a detective and stuff.
I agree. I'd like to see more than one crime as well. Like multiple arcs throughout the movie interwoven. But
so if they did Hush with Professor Pig.
Ooh, I would love Zazz because he would set them up in like little staged areas and stuff, staged crime scenes.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many good villains they could use.
See, again, something's in the water. I kind of agree with Freya on this. You could have Zaz as the serial killer all the way through the movie, adding to the story without actually being the main villain. And I quite like Penguin, you know, when he was the nightclub owner.
Mm-hmm.
I like that Penguin. And I like Black Mask. Let's have some Black Mask in there. There you go. That would be my shouts. But I agree with Freya. I think there definitely needs to be a more, I'm not going to say adult, but a more mature version that doesn't rely on the superheroic elements that kind of pertain to the recent Batman movies.
So
Batman, Superman.
So what you're saying is kind of like the approach that we're getting from Brightburn.
To an extent. Remember, Batman's pathological, so there should be a distinct difference between Bruce Wayne and Bats. And mm-hmm. as much as I love Christian Bale as his Batman is Bruce Wayne, he played it at the time when everyone and still thinks that Bruce Wayne's the mask. And you can see when the characters he moves through the movie, you can see how disdainful he is of himself all the way through, because everything he does as Bruce Wayne is just a game, a gimmick to get Batman to where he wants to be. Well, the two could be so separate, at least in my head. What do I know? I don't know anything about films. Although I did call the end of Endgame, just saying. I did.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, you know, we'll save that for another show.
All right, there you go. So there's our thoughts this week of an eclectic collection of comics that are out, to say the least, and our thoughts on the old Arbat stuff going on. As always, get in touch with the show. Check out Twitter. We're all on there. Feel free to drop us lines. Get yourself a shout out. As it is, till next time, this is The Machine saying, see ya.